Okay, this is July 6th, and the topic is wealth.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I behold you with love, you radiant beings, you gods and goddesses. If you will be so kind as to turn to the person next to you and say, I am magnificent.
I am magnificent.
I am magnificent.
Why is this so important for us to know? All right. I just returned from another little trip that I took. I went to Truckee, California for the 4th of July. I drove 8 hours up and 8 hours back. In that time, I listened to the CD that I gave everyone for Christmas, which is the only CD that I use in my car. In my car, I always listen to it as I'm popping around town. But I had 16 hours of immersion in that particular thing. We will give you one of those. I'll bring it next week. And it's the conversations with God. And what is the one thing that is the pinpoint of everything? And we've known this. This is why I brought this in today. You'll notice this was printed in 1924, one of the Unity things. So let's quickly do this one. God in me is my light and my understanding. In order to grow in spiritual understanding, I must first realize that I have the capacity for it. I am a manifestation of God and in God's likeness. I am all wise and all knowing. To believe in the presence of God as divine mind in me is to identify myself with all light and knowledge. Beginning today, I rise out of the belief that by nature I am limited in understanding. At all times, I think of myself as capable of knowing all truth. I learn to rely upon the light of God within to clear whatever I desire to know. This is very important. Now, also, we talk many times in the Bible. It says, know that ye are gods. Now, how long has the Bible been out? 2,000 years or something? So for 2,000 years, we've known this. The Essenes knew this long before Christianity came in, and many people think that Jesus studied with the Essenes. And we do this every once in a while. We say, oh, yes, isn't that lovely? On my cards, you will see it says, all that I am is God, but I am not all that God is. It's very important. Now, I have to take responsibility here because I know this. I work on this. Sometimes I do not say this. Why? I hesitate. Remember once I was thrown out of the Baptist church because I said, no, I don't believe I've done all this sinful stuff. And they thought, oh, then who do you think you are, Jesus Christ? And I said, no, I don't think I'm Jesus Christ. But I don't think that all this baloney that you're giving me is the truth. Well, here's what. After listening to that tape, which it says, know that ye are gods. We have to know this. We have to get this at a cellular level, not only in our minds, but filter it down. Like Andy asked last week, how do you do that? How do you filter that down? Well, you have to become aware, and you have to keep reminding yourself that this is one of the basic truths. We are not told this. Main brand religions do not want you to know this, because if you know this, they're afraid that you won't come to the church anymore. Why do I not sometimes say it? So from now on, every week, I'm going to introduce you, or I recognize you as the gods and goddesses that you are, till it gets through to all of us. This is an absolute basic truth. You see, you cannot say all there is God, and then what are you? Chopped liver. You see, you have to know that you came from God, that everything comes from God. Therefore, you have to be some part of this. You can't be made out of something else. So you have to realize that. Now, we also go to that idea that you're made in the image and likeness of God. That does not mean that God has hands and a body and looks like us. What that means, inwardly, we're made in the image and likeness of God, meaning that we can create, that we can use this mind. Here again, we say there is only one mind, the mind of God, and that we live, move, and have our being in that one mind. Now, if you realize that, then when you think, God is thinking. It cannot be any other way. Many times I say to you, our idea is to learn to think God thoughts after it. You see, we have to know that we are becoming this thing called God. We have to be able to elevate our thoughts above this earthbound thinking that we call race mind. You have to know that you are divine. So when I went around, when I asked you to go around and say, I'm magnificent, how did that feel to you? Everyone's going to have a different idea of what magnificent is. But if you hesitated, if you laughed, if you giggled, if you thought, oh, is it this funny and all that, you're not getting the point. You see, your mind is telling you, oh, that's not true. You have to know that you're magnificent. Now, that doesn't mean that you're conceited or anything, but you have to know that. You see, when you love yourself, you're loving God. When you hate yourself, you're hating God. When you hold things against yourself, when you let that mind chatter tell you that you're no good, that you're never going to make it, that this is da 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 da, you're saying God isn't going to do this. You see, God is working in us and through us at all times. And we have to know that. But we have to know that, yes, we are gods and goddesses. That we have the capability to create, and we have the capability to do these things. So this was written in 1924. So, all reading, there's all kinds of things. I found this. It is by becoming godlike that we can know God. And to become godlike is to identify ourselves with the divine element, which in fact constitutes our essential nature, but of which, in our mainly voluntary ignorance, we choose to remain unaware of. We choose to become unaware. We choose to not think that we are gods and goddesses. Why? I don't say it all the time to you because I think, oh my goodness, what if I'm wrong? What if I'm wrong? You see? You can't be wrong about this. You see? And no one else is saying it. It takes guts and it takes courage, you know. I could lose a lot of people. I've often cleared a room by something that I've said, you see. But I am not going to give up on this one. It's been around entirely too long. I've meditated on it. I see it all the time, and I absolutely feel it. And I want you people to feel it and to know that. It will make a tremendous difference in your life. You will start to treat yourself differently. You will start to treat yourself differently. And that's what this thing is all about. It's learning to love yourself. It's learning to fall in love with who you are and what you have. To love yourself and love your thinking. To love every bit about yourself. You are a god. You are a goddess. And yes, we slip off the wagon, we do different things. We forgive ourselves and come back knowing that this is going on, that this is exactly what it is. We are becoming gods. Many people, I said before, use the word godlings or God in preparation. But you have to know that. Andy wanted to know how you drop these things down, you know, instead of making it all intellectual. Everyone believes in God and thinks, oh, isn't that wonderful and all. But you have to be able to feel this thing. You have to be able to feel it. So you work on that with your own self. Keep reminding yourself who you are. If you remind yourself and know that you're God, you're not going to be knocking yourself around. You're not going to be calling yourself names, and you're not going to be calling other people's names. It has to do with self-esteem. If everyone on this planet had self-esteem, you know, there would be no wars, there'd be no fighting, there'd be no domestic violence. So, but it starts with realizing, who am I? You know, we're taught, oh, you've just been created and plopped down here on this plane of action. And that's it. That is not it. That is not it. So we elevate our thinking, we elevate our consciousness to this new level. To this new level. So start thinking of yourselves with this true identity. You see, we have put on a false self. And we use that false self all the time to get ourselves off the hook. You see, when you start realizing that you're a god or a goddess, you have to start taking some responsibility and you have to start changing the way you're thinking, the way you're thinking about yourself, and the way you're thinking about the world. You start to realize that every thought that you think has power of some sort. That it's going someplace and it's doing something. So what kind of thoughts do you want to put out there? You want to put good thoughts out there? All thoughts, you know, are a virus. Just like the swine flu. We catch thoughts from other people. And we use those thoughts. The world has a lot of thoughts. And we collect them. And we get sick by those thoughts. So you learn to change. You learn to see yourself differently. You hold yourself in the highest of esteem. Realize what a magnificent being that you are. Just by the mere fact that you have a human body and all the functions that are going on inside of you right here and right now. It's a magnificent thing. Everyone right now, their heart is beating, your circulation is going on, you're digesting food, you're doing all kinds of wonderful things. You're a magnificent creature. Learn to see that, learn to know that, learn to acknowledge that. And the more you do that, by the way, the better your body will perform for you. I talk to my body all the time, I talk to every part of my body. And I say, thank you for doing this for me, thank you for doing that for me. I don't know how to do those things, but I know that you know how to do those things. And it can correct itself, and it can heal itself. But you have to start with that basic premise that you are a god or you are a goddess. And then just let that run through your mind. Just try it for one day and see the difference. You have to react differently to things, you see. You have to react differently to things. What do I mean by that? You have to change your mind. I have a little thing going on in my mind. I happen to be the president of our homeowners association, and one of the members is not doing what I want. Can you imagine? It's not doing what I want. And I can get very angry and very upset. And I can handle that the way we would say, oh, a responsible human being does. But I change my mind and I say, Dallas, if you're practicing to be a God here, and you know that you are a God, you have to change your thinking. You have to forgive this person. You have to forgive this person. You cannot hold that old idea anymore. You have to give the idea up. It no longer serves me. So, it took me quite a while, but I was able to do that. And I was able to see the thing differently. And that's what will happen with all of you if you practice the idea that you are some part of this thing called God, that you are a god or a goddess, that you came from this thing called God. That all you are is God, but you are not all that God is. Now, this will also, by the way, help you with wealth. It will help you in every area of your life. So if you'll take a moment now and just close your eyes and just start to relax. And as you start to relax, something starts to appear in front of you. And that thing that is appearing in front of you looks very much like a seed. In fact, it is a seed. And you look at that seed, and it's a beautiful seed. You can make that seed any shape, any color. You can make it gold. But it's a very special seed, and you recognize that when you look at it. You say, this is a very special seed. I'm looking at something special. I'm looking at something magnificent. And then you pick up that seed and you hold it. And you say, look at this beautiful, beautiful seed. And then a wonderful idea comes into your mind. You decide to swallow that seed. That's it. Just swallow the seed. And it slides down. You can feel it sliding right down. And it stops right in your solar plexus. And it feels good there. It feels warm there. And while you're feeling that feeling, in your mind's eye, you can see that seed starting to sprout. And now you realize that seed is a God seed. And it is going to grow inside of you. And it is going to grow and grow until it is in every cell, every fiber of your being. You are growing into God, and God is growing into you. See that, know that, and feel that. Feel how wonderful it feels to realize that God is growing inside of you. You can come back when you're ready. So take that with you. Keep that inside of you. And know that it's growing all the time. And that you are growing in understanding. Understanding of yourself. An understanding of this thing called God. We have to do this. It's time. Why are we waiting any longer? Why are we waiting any longer for this to happen? We want a mind shift. We want a consciousness shift on this plane of action. And yet, we keep maintaining old ideas that are worn out, that no longer work for us, and that were handed to us by somebody else. But the truth is, ye are gods and goddesses. Know that. Know that ye are gods. Know that ye are gods. It's been in the Bible all these years. If you want to read it, it's right there. If you need to know it in print, it's there. But you must feel that. It's an intrinsic quality. Learn to feel it. Learn to see that. Give yourself that wonderful gift. Give yourself that wonderful gift. And your life will change. There's no way that it cannot change. And what you want will come into your life. All right? So So, hated to get off on that. No, I didn't hate to get off on it, because we're trying to talk about wealth here. Okay, what do we know about wealth? Oh, what are we going to say? Wealth of spirit, wealth of this, wealth of that. But what you people want to know is, how can I get money? It's always going to boil down to money. So we have to learn to look at money differently. We have to see money as your consciousness. What do you think about money? Do you think money's dirty? Do you think money's nice? Do you do all kinds of things and visualizations? Money's always flying around me, flying to me, from me. Money's always circulating around me, and it's a wonderful thing. I love money, and money loves me. You see, you have to do that to know that it's perfectly all right. Why is it perfectly all right? Because money is God in action. It cannot be anything else. So we start to do that, but we have to start to think, what kind of a universe do I live in? Well, you've known for years that you live in an abundant universe. You live in an abundant universe. They use that old thing, you can't count the grains of sand on a beach. We know now that we're finding out that the universe is bigger and bigger all the time. They now think there's 76 trillion stars in the visible universe. I don't know what sextillion, how much that is. There's also, they have discovered 125 billion universes in the visible universe. See, with the new Hubble, they can do all this. When I was in school, I think we were taught there was one other universe flying around out there. You know, of course, that was in 1776, you know. But we're learning more and more. What are we always learning about this universe that we live in, and this earth that we live in? It's abundant. It is abundant. Last week I went across the country. Everywhere I looked, I saw beauty and abundance. This week I drove to Truckee, North Carolina. I went through the grapevine. Honest to goodness, everything imaginable is growing, and tons of towels and all kinds of stuff. We live in an abundant universe. Why aren't we abundant? Why aren't we abundant? Here again, the master teacher, or one of the master teachers, Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Yet we don't see people with abundance. Everyone should be abundant. So it has to start with us somewhere. It has to start in our mind. And it has to start with the idea. Do you feel rich? Do you feel rich? Or do you see other people that are rich and say, they're rich and I'm not? They're rich and I'm not. You have to be able to feel it. The cousins that I went to see over the 4th of July in Truckee have a real estate business. And the husband, Jack, was telling me when they first started, they've been there 30 years now, they weren't doing well at all, and he wasn't feeling very good about the business or about himself. So he went to a seminar, and at the seminar, whoever it was, I can't even remember, he went someplace for it. The man said, you have to feel good about yourself. If you don't feel good about yourself, you're not going to draw money to you. You're not going to draw wealth to you. He said, Dallas, at that time we had $1,300. That's all we had to our name, was $1,300. He said, I went into Reno to a Cadillac dealer. And at that time, for $450 out of the $1,300, I could lease a Cadillac. So he said, I leased a Cadillac. He still has that Cadillac, and it's in mint condition, beautiful blue color. After he bought that, he felt so good. He felt so wealthy that his business picked up. Today, His business has $35 million worth of inventory. $35 million. It's done with feelings. It's done with feelings. Have a wealthy spirit and feel that. Don't look around and say, I do not have enough. Look around and say, I have enough. I have enough of everything. Have a consciousness of enoughness. If you have a consciousness of enoughness, you will keep bringing things into your life. But most people have a consciousness of, I don't have enough. I need this. I need that. All that is well and good. You have to start with your thinking. You have to start with the idea that you have enough. Always. It's the old thing about the glass. Do you see the glass half full or half empty? Half full or half empty? Years ago when I was in college, my aunt sent me some money and she said, this little bit of money is all that I have. But you are more than welcome to it because you know I need for nothing. Aunt Catherine lived to be 96 years old. She lived with that philosophy that she needed nothing. And everything came to her. Everything came to her. So what I am saying here to you is relax. Relax. Relax into wealth. You see, struggle is not required, people. But yet you're told that it's difficult to become rich. That you have to work hard for your money. Relax into it. Know who you are. Know that you have enough. That you'll always have enough. That this thing called God is not only the source of everything, it is the supply. God is your source and your supply. Run that through your consciousness. Run that through your mind each day. Instead of thinking that it's your job or it's this or that or the other thing. We hold on sometimes to these things, thinking that that is the source. And it's very convincing. But when you're able to give that up and realize there is only one source, and there's only one supply in the universe, and if I know that I'm one with that source, one with that supply, then it has to come through. It has to come through. To me, through any channel that is available, it will come to you. But you have to know that. But we think, oh, I have to go in this direction, I have to go in that direction, I have to do this, that, and the other thing. Learn to relax. Learn to see money differently. Learn to see money differently. You can take all the classes in the world. You can learn. Yes, learn as much as you can about money. Learn how to invest money. Learn how to do all that. You can read one book upside down, or up one side and down the other. And you can learn all the techniques. But till you realize that God is the source and the supply, and that you are connected with that source and, that supply, it's not going to do you that much good. Now, the other little thing... Everyone wants hints on how to get money and so forth. And they want to follow somebody else's. You may imitate somebody else. You may follow that. But here's what I would advise. I would sit down and say, you know, I know that I am one with God. I know that I am one with the source and supply of everything. I know that I am an individualized expression of this. Therefore, I can do it my way. Therefore, I can do it my way. You see? And then come up with a system of your own. Instead of trying to pigeonhole yourself into somebody else's idea. You can read Susie Orman. A lot of people read Susie Orman. Susie Orman has wonderful hints and so forth. And you can follow all those steps. But you can make up your own steps too, by knowing that you always have enough and you know how to handle your money. That this thing called God is operating in as and through you. What do I hear most of the time? Well, I'm no good with money. I don't understand money. I don't do this. I don't do that. From now on, say, I do know a great deal about money. I do understand money because I'm using the mind of God here. And God understands everything. And give yourself a break. You see, a lot of people can't follow all those things. What's the number one Susie Orman says that you want to get wealthy? What's the first thing? People. Our first thing is always people. It's people first, always. So you have to think of money differently. And you have to know that it's always circulating, it's always coming, it's always going. But there's always enough. There's always enough money. Remember, we always say that money is never the issue. It's enoughness. It's that thinking, I have enough. I know how to do this. And in this economic situation that we seem to be in, we hear the worst things that are going on. Don't let them happen to you. Don't let that happen to you. Change your thinking about that. Know that this money, this thing, is always circulating in your life. That you can handle money. A lot of people are afraid of money. They're afraid of large sums of money. Say to yourself, I can handle large sums of money. I know exactly what to do with large sums of money. Money scares people. Why should money scare people? Everyone wants money and then they're afraid of it. Everyone wants money and then they're afraid of it. Why is that? I had a friend years ago when I worked in Cherokee, North Carolina. He hid money everywhere. And when I say everywhere, in magazines, in little boxes, and all kinds of things. And a friend came to visit me. Lil, her name was. And she opened up one of these boxes, and of course it was stuffed with money. But she got so petrified, she ran out of the place. The money scared her. The money scared her that much, she ran out of the place. Learn not to be afraid of money. See large boxes of money. See that. See large boxes. Do you handle your money every day? Do you say thank you for all this money? Do you organize it? Do you treat it correctly? Do you sleep with it beside your bed? I do all these things. I do all these things to teach me that money is always there. And release, you have to learn to release money. It will come right back to you if you release it. Why does it come back to you? Because you're a magnet for money. It can't stay away from you long. It just comes right back to you. Know that. Release it. Learn about happy money. Money should be happy. I love to give money out. I love to give happy money out. I put my energy into the money. I put my love into the money. I make it happy money. I don't begrudge giving anyone money. If you begrudge giving people money, look what you've just sent out there. If somebody doesn't want to pay me, I will not ask them. Because I don't want them giving me unhappy money. They see somebody, oh, I'll take any money. I'll just take it. No, only take happy money. Take money that people want to give you. With a happy, open heart. You know, don't begrudge. I sit down and paid all my bills today. Remember my little affirmation, all my bills are paid on or before time? Paid one that didn't need to, it was September something was the date. I said, write down and paid that with a happy heart, saying, thank God I have the money to do this. And knowing that I will have the money, that that money will replace itself. I don't pay a bill and then say, oh, now it's going down, this is going down. I pay a bill and say, this is going up, this is going up. Use it, use only happy money. Make a nice little game out of your money. Treat your money right and your money will treat you correctly. But you have to use wisdom with everything. You have to use wisdom. But everything on this plane of action has an energy. What type of energy are you putting into your money? What type of energy are you putting into your money? Are you doing it just because you have to? You say. And we could talk about tithing. So many people love tithing. You know, my friend Doug the Baptist is a tither. And he never runs out of money. And when I say he tithes perhaps $10,000 a year. A lot of people say, oh, I could do a lot with that $10,000. That's one of his top priorities, is to tithe. Because his belief is in that. That's just a mechanism to help prime the pump for you. To prime the pump, you see. So you learn to tithe. And then you know that that money is always there and that money is always going to multiply for you. You see. And that comes from the farmers years ago. They always saved 10% of their crop so that they could replant the next year. Made absolute sense, made absolute wisdom. And now we do it for that. The other thing to do with your money, only give your money to something that supported you. People give to charities and so forth because they feel, oh, I'm obligated to do this. Never give money under obligation. Give money under love. And if you don't like the organization, don't give to it. I give to very few organizations because I don't believe in half of them. They make enough money on other people. Most organizations, that money goes to administration, doesn't go to where it's supposed to go. So you're just throwing your money away. But if you're gaining anything from something, then you give to it. Then you give to it. If you gain anything from something, give to it. And what do I mean by that? If you're gaining something from this class, then you give something. If you're not gaining anything, please, only put happy money in the basket. Don't put money in the basket that you begrudge giving. Put happy money in it. But know where your priorities are in life. Know where your priorities are in life. How many people don't put in the basket, but they'll spend $10 for a movie, a kill 'em movie, a shoot 'em up, knock 'em down movie? What are you telling your consciousness? What are you telling your mind? What Dallas is saying is nothing. But boy, I sure do like to watch him be killed on that screen. Because that's entertainment. That's entertainment. Nothing wrong with that. I'm not putting anybody down. I'm asking you to look at what you do and how you do it. If you want to be wealthy, you have to know where your money is going and what it is doing. Money is God in action. And if you're giving that God money to watch those movies that you think are entertaining, what are you telling your mind? That is worth more than this. So you have to know where your worth is. You have to know where your money's going. How am I spending my money? Am I spending it correctly? Am I spending it to expand my thinking, to expand my consciousness? Or am I just throwing this stuff away? We're here on this plane of action, yes, to enjoy ourselves. Please don't stop going to movies. I'm not saying you have to stop going to movies. But you have to know when you spend your money what you're spending it for and what value you're getting back. Because I'll tell you, you're always being watched. You're always being watched. Not by this thing called God. God is not in the surveillance business. Please give that idea up that God is watching everything that you do. Goodness gracious. You are watching yourself. You are always watching yourself. Your mind knows what you're doing. And you're always telling yourself something. You're giving your mind a message. And when you give your money to something where you get no value from it, you are disvaluing money. You are saying there is no value in this. So your mind immediately says, there's no value in that. And you haven't learned a thing. You haven't learned a thing. You see. As soon as you place a value of money on something, you perk up. You perk up. If I would charge $100 a head, you people would learn much faster. You would learn much faster. Because, oh my God, that's a value. I better listen. I would tell you the exact same thing. I would tell you the exact same thing. So you have to know where your value is and what value are you placing on it. You have to monitor your mind all the time. You have to monitor it. But learn to relax into this thing called wealth. That struggle is not required. But a consciousness of value is required. How do I value my money? Do I know all the good things that it can do for me? And then ask for more of those good things. And you'll get more of those good things. So it always boils down to what's going on in your thinking. What's going on in your thinking? So many people think they have to go here, there, and everywhere and learn so much. You don't have to learn that much. I know tons of people that have money. Tons of people that have money. And they never came to classes. They never went to seminars and all. But they knew the value of money. And they knew their value. They know their value. Does everyone here know what you're worth? Or are you waiting to get money before you know what you're worth? You have to know what you're worth now. You're never going to get the money. If you think you're worth $1 million, you'll get $1 million. But if you're waiting to get $1 million for that feeling, it's not going to work. Why do you think all the people who win the lotto and do have all these sudden cash flows, it flows in one way and right out the other? Because they do not have the consciousness to hold it. They do not have the consciousness to hold it. Build your consciousness. Build that feeling. Build that feeling. Years ago, there was a minister. In fact, he may still be alive. He used to have a radio program, Reverend Ike. Does anyone remember Reverend Ike?
Yeah.
And he talked about money all the time, remember? And one of his little sayings he used to say, and I use this myself. And by the way, when I use these different things, it doesn't mean that one denomination is better than the other, you know. And I am not Christian, nor do I teach anything Christian. I give you little things from Jesus, but that does not mean that I'm Christian. By the way, religious science is not a Christian teaching. It believes it's a God-oriented teaching. It believes that Jesus was a master teacher, but not a savior, you see. So it's not a Christian. A lot of people get that confused, and a lot of people think that this is a Christian teaching. It's not. But we're not against Christians. We're not against anybody. What we're for is the truth. So anyway, what Reverend Wright used to say is, Jesus, loosen my money for me.
Loosen
my money for me. And you have to say that, and I often say that during the day. Why do I say that? Because you have to know that there's a cosmic bank account. But you have a cosmic bank account, and you want that loosened. You want that to fall down on you. Reverend Ike also said, you want to be wealthy, you have to look good, smell good, and wonderful. I can't remember the third one. But he always said, you've got to look good, smell good, and I think dress well. You have to perk yourself up. You have to come to that the same way Jack, the man in Truckee, didn't feel wealthy. But he bought the Cadillac, which gave him the feeling. Now, I'm not suggesting that everyone runs out and buys a Cadillac. Mm-hmm. But you have to be able to come up with a feeling. You have to be able to come up with a feeling. So what feeling, what would make you feel good? You see. With women and so forth, I often see this, and I often put on your necklace, put on your jewelry and so forth. I say, geez, I'm looking good here. And then start feeling that. Start feeling it. It's going to be done with feeling. So we call it a wealthy spirit. But you have to have the feeling. You have to feel wealthy. You see. You have to feel wealthy. So however you bring that to your... Remember you, a long time ago, I said, buy one flower. If that makes you feel good, buy a flower, put it by your bed, put it in your house. I happen to be growing my own flowers right now. I can't wait. They're so beautiful. I cut those little devils and I bring them in and I thank them and I have them all over the place and I look at them and say, ooh, this makes me feel wealthy. This makes me feel wealthy. So what would make you feel wealthy? A Sunday brunch somewhere that you haven't gone before. Oh, I feel wealthy around here. You know, go to the Ritz-Carlton, have lunch. Be around that. Make yourself feel wealthy. It all starts with that feeling. And then maintain that. Why do you think it's so hard for people to lift themselves out of the ghetto and out of poverty? Because they're around it all the time and they don't see anything else. So they start to take it for granted. So if you start to spruce yourself up, spruce your living space up and so forth, things will start to happen. You're impressing your mind all the time. You're the one that's doing that. And you have to figure out, how can I impress my mind? How can I make my mind feel what I want to feel? So that I can draw to me what I want. So that I can draw to me what I want. I have some cards. I'm just going to have these completely in order here. Ah, well, let's do these. I came from God, and since I must be like what I came from, I am a piece of the divine. All that I am is God, but I am not all that God is. Where do you think I came from? God. And since I must be like what I came from, I am a piece of the divine. But you get earthbound and you think you came from your parents. You did not come from your parents, people. You came through your parents to get to this plane of action. And you pick those parents. And if they weren't a day at the beach, I can't help you with that.
Yes, it, you know.
But give that idea up. Know that you came from the divine, and you're a part of that divine person. Ah, this is what I was looking for. We do not attract that which we want, but that which we are. But that which we are. What does that mean? I'm feeling wealthy, therefore I am wealthy, therefore I am attracting wealth to me. Well, I want wealth, I want wealth, I want wealth, I want wealth. Want. Feel. I feel wealthy. We do not attract that which we want, but that which we are. I think that's wonderful. That's that feeling. Always use that feeling. Always. This is a wonderful affirmation to use while that little seed is growing inside of you. And you're looking out at the world. Say to yourself, hold on here. There's something beyond what I'm noticing. And I'm going to tap into it first. Hold on there. That's your talking to your mind. Hold on there. There is something beyond what I am noticing. I'm noticing at the present moment that my bank account is not up to the level that I wish. But I'm only noticing that. I'm going to tap in to something else. I'm going to tap into God. I'm going to tap into the truth. I'm going to know that money is always freely circulating in my life and that I always have a divine surplus. You can use this for anything. I'm feeling ill. Oh, hold on there. I'm going to tap into something a little higher than that. A couple weeks ago when you were down with the flu or the cold or something, and I said make a space for wellness. You're well now, aren't you? Because you made a space for it. You have to make a space for it. Have you made a space for all the money you're going to get? Have you made a space for it, or are you just thinking? Make a space for it. Get a little box. Get a big box.
There you go.
Make a space and say, here, this is my money box. It's filling up. You went through the red envelopes. You don't know about them. I'll bring them next week. I didn't have a chance to get to Chinatown. We did the red envelopes. You can look that up on the website, how that's done. How many people are still doing the red envelopes? I'll tell you a cute story. I'll bring them next week. Well, the red envelope is just a method. What you do, well, Andy, you could tell them.
The red envelope is, Dallas has this little Chinese red envelope, and the idea is that when you get home at the end of the day, you open up your wallet, and if there's an odd amount of money in there, you might take a small amount out that would make the amount even. Say if you had $17 in there, you might take $2 out, you put it in the red envelope, and over time it just accumulates and accumulates, and you feel more and more prosperous because your red envelope is filling up.
Yes. So you just take odd amounts and so forth, dollars and stuff. I use save dollars, but the last time my red envelope was filled, it had $900 in it. Now, I'll tell you why this is so important to know. So I knew that this $900, you see, and you have to know that all money, of course, is God in action, but you can make it also mystical and magical and so forth. So my $900 that I had in that envelope, I knew exactly what I wanted to do with that $900. But since it was only $900, the item that I wanted was $2,400. And it's a beautiful, I'll tell you, Plaza Buddha. So I waltzed into the store and I said to the woman, I have 900 magical dollars in this red envelope. And I will give it to you for that Buddha.
No tax. She looked at me and she says, you know, money has power. You may have the Buddha for $900. And I walked out with the Buddha. You have to know. You have to be able to use money like that. You're saying? Know the value of the money. Make your money magical. Make it do what you want it to. Make your money do what you want it to. I wanted that $900 to buy that Buddha. You see? Because I'm able to do that a lot of times in my life. Why do I do that? Because I know that money is never the issue. Money is never the issue. I went on to talk to the lady. I told her I had other Buddhas that would be good hands. She said, can you take a picture of it? And will you bring it back and show me the picture of where the Buddha is? And I said, yes. This was in a flower shop in Santa Monica. And so she sent home orchids. She sent home orchids with me for the Buddha. So not the Buddha, got orchids and everything else. Now, I've taken a picture. I haven't gone back to show her, but I will show her those. So you walk in. It's with the energy, and it's with the love, and it's with everything else. And she says, oh, I'm so glad that my Buddha is getting a good home. I'm so glad my Buddha is getting a good home. This works all the time, people. It works all the time. So, if you don't have your red envelopes, next week I will bring your red envelopes and you can start the red envelope. And you can know that that money has more power than you think. You see, you look at a dollar and you say, oh, it's only a dollar. I look at a dollar and I say, oh, this is wonderful energy here. This is God energy here. This is God working here. And this dollar has power. So, I make that dollar worth much, much more. Much, much more. That's the power that you have. Money is just printed in those different things. And then everyone says, oh, it's only worth this. And you know sometimes when they say, oh, the dollar's only worth 90 cents, the dollar's only worth 50 cents. It goes up and down. So if it goes up and down, why can't you make it go up and down? Why can't you use your wonderful God-given power to make that dollar mean much more to you?
I pick up pennies off the ground all the time.
Well, I know I do, too. I never pass over a penny. I never pass over anything that's on the ground, money-wise. You bring it right home with you. And I say, thank you very much. That's more money for me. I call it pennies from heaven. I love to see pennies from heaven. So you have to know that money's always raining down on you. You have to know that you have a cosmic bank account and you can say, Jesus, loosen my money for me. But make your money do what you want it to do, not what the world wants it to do. A dollar, you can make a dollar be worth a great deal of money. So if anyone is mathematical, you can figure out if somebody wants $2,400 for something and I gave them $900. No tax. I always say that because I don't want to pay tax. I know I should, but I don't. So, how much is that worth, that money? $900 must have been worth $2,400. I got it. I got it. You are the one that's deciding what's going on in your mind. What is your money worth? What is your money worth? Do you say, oh, it's only a dollar? I never say that. Oh, it's only $10. Oh, that wasn't much. You're the one that's putting the value on it. It's only a piece of paper, people. You're making it do what you want. You're making it do what you want. Use your mind. Use your feeling. Find that feeling of wealth that's inside of you. And look around and say, I live in an abundant universe I live on this plane of action, which is abundant. Therefore, I must be abundant. Therefore, I must be abundant. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, a man was born to be rich, or inevitably grows rich, by the use of his faculties, by the use of your mind. We keep forgetting our little mind, don't we? You see, it's a mental world you live in. Use this mind to create the wealth that you want. Use it to create the wealth that you want. And it will start to create that. The creative part of your mind, the subconscious part of your mind, can never say no to you. It only takes directions and acts on those directions. So what is going on in your thinking? Are you thinking wealth? Are you thinking wealth? Are you thinking that you are worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter? With that, let's do the matter.
I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter.
Yeah. All right, let me do a few cards. I know I'm holding people up here tonight. All right. This one I love. Everything from childhood upward is done to make the minds of men and women conventional and sterile. Russell, Bertram Russell said that. Think about it. Everything upward from childhood, you don't want to be conventional. You want to be non-conventional. Remember, that's like, oh, let's be realistic. Oh, my God. Who wants to be realistic? If I wanted to be realistic, I'd be out there with the world, and I don't want to be in the world. Don't be conventional. Don't be realistic. And you could do that by knowing what?
Who you are.
Who you are, and who are you? That's it. You have to know that. But all you are is God. But you are not all that God is. So, the rest of the month, we will talk about wealth, and we will bring wealth into our lives. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and therein's the lesson. Thank you.